Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:10, and a restored painting of one of Cambridge's most significant historical figures is set to be unveiled in a new location at the Guildhall. The 17th century portrait of Thomas Hobson has undergone restoration work lasting 2 years thanks to public donations of more than £10,000. Chris Fernandez has been speaking to some of those involved.
I've got Anthony Hopkinson, who organized the efforts to raise funds for the restoration of this beautiful painting. Mr. Hopkinson, why was it important for you to see this work restored to some semblance of its former glory?
Well, because Thomas Hobson is probably, apart from people of the university, the most important Cambridge man that there's ever been. And I thought, in honor of his memory, we should make sure that the picture was taken care of. Unfortunately, at that time, funds were short and the council didn't have any money to restore it. So we set about raising funds.
When did it first come to your attention? Because it had been hanging up in the main hall for a while. But you told me a story back there about how it caught your attention, of how it was slowly going into a state of disrepair.
Well, it must be at least 10 years ago now. The Cambridge Drawing Society, which I'm a member of, used to have an exhibition every year in the Guildhall. And every time I went to help arrange the exhibition, I could see this picture getting sadly more and more dilapidated.
I've got Raquel Ramos-Ramos. She's the conservator for the Thomas Hobson painting. It took £10,000 that came out of crowdfunding and various other sources and 2 years of restoration work. Thank you for joining me, Raquel. Tell me about the challenges that you faced with getting this painting to the degree that we see it in. It's beautiful. It's luminous.
Thank you. Well, first of all, it was a very difficult challenge to take it to the studio because it's really heavy. And it's one piece of panel, which is absolutely incredible. And so it took five people to move this painting and take it to the studio. There was quite a few problems, because the painting is 17th century. Over its history, it has been, let's say, worked on many, many times, been restored many, many times. So there was quite a few layers of overpaint. And so we ran some tests and we decided what to clean and what to remove. And the first thing that you remove is the grime, and that's, you know, surface dirt. And then you remove the varnish. You know, if you're talking about 17th century painting, it's always very yellow, discolored varnish. And then you remove sometimes overpaints. And in this case, it was a large overpaint. It was done in the 19th century when the painting was bought for public subscription to the Cambridge City Council. And it was, yes, there was quite a few additions done on the panel. There was a piece of timber that was added on the right-hand side. And it was taken to London to be restored. And they apply a large layer of overpaint on the sky mainly to make the colours brighter. So I think it was some kind of cosmetic done for the painting to look better to be hung.
How was the painting? What did it look like when it first came to you? Because looking at it now, it's gorgeous. The blue of the sky and the dark of the horse is just stunning. But how did it come to you when it first came? Does it seem impossible, or did you look at it and say that I think there's some way to redeem this?
Well, yes, all the paintings, they are, you know, quite challenging. This one, it was especially challenging. And yes, as I said, there was quite a few layers of paint. It looked very dirty. And it just, certain things did not look right. But the condition of the panel, I mean, what is the support, is in a very good condition. It was restored possibly in the 1800s, the panel, there's quite a few additions. But yes, no, the panel was, I mean, it needed some cleaning, but structurally was in good condition.
Joining me is Nigel Grimshaw, one of the people behind the restoration of this painting, a student of history and also a man who is very, very curious and interested in Thomas Hobson and his life, interested enough to turn it into a book, and he's working on that. Thank you for joining me. A of all the characters and the people who've come by into Cambridge, why was Thomas Hobson something or someone who stood out for you?
I think anybody who's been in Cambridge, whether you studied history or not, is aware of the name of Thomas Hobson. And the impression you have is of this perhaps rather grumpy, curmudgeonly old fellow who has rich undergraduate students coming to him saying they'd rather have a particular fine horse. And he says, no, you can have only one, the one at the front of the queue, the most rested one. So I was surprised when I started looking into him, firstly, how little had been researched or written about Thomas Hobson, apart from his involvement with the famous Hobson's Conduit. And secondly, what a deeply interesting, enigmatic, curious person he was. Because even in a long lifetime of 86 years, he accumulated wealth on a level that was just exceptional, and mainly in property.
Why was it important for you to see this painting restored to the glory that it was in, at least to some degree?
It's a painting which next year will be 400 years old. And Hobson is by far our most famous son of Cambridge. We've got many, of Cambridge town, I should say, we've got many, very many famous people from the university. We know all about that. Trinity College, we know, has more Nobel Prize winners than two major European countries, and that's just one college. But in the town, there haven't been that many really famous people. So Hobson stands out head and shoulders above anybody else who might justly be given that title.
And he's been credited with a great many civic things as well, drinking water, for example.
That's right. Hobson was long attributed with being the major financier of the New River, is probably the easiest way to call it, from the Gog Magog Hills, bringing fresh water to the centre of Cambridge. As ever, when you start to look into these things, it's not that straightforward. And without preempting my own book, it's clear that Hobson initially wasn't involved very much at all with the financing of the New River. But he did get involved in two major ways. One, by paying for the fountain, confusingly also called a conduit, which was for 250 years in the Market Square, the main source of fresh water to townspeople. And secondly, in setting up a trust to look after the upkeep of the whole engineering product. A major trust, even today it still exists and fulfills that role.
And finally, Nigel, if I had to pop a question, I don't know when the book is due, but have you thought of a title?
Yes, I have. It's slightly academic, but it's something along the lines of an extraordinary entrepreneur from the Tudor and Jacobite period.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.